Heyniu had three hits, his first three at-bats coming off the IL.
That ball hit hard by Sanchez, and that's going to be a first run of the game for the Astros. Jesus Sanchez against his former team, an RBI double. His first Astros double is against his former team. It's 1-0.
Okay, that was last night. The Astros go on to win 8-2. They get a nice performance from Jason Alexander. That was cool to see. We'll talk about what the pitching situation is going to be for the rest of this Miami series as we come to you live from West Virginia and Texans training camp. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. I bumped in with that for a few reasons. Significant because it was Sanchez's first double as an Astro. Mm-hmm. He had an RBI against his old – that's his first at-bat against his old team. My favorite part of that entire play, though, and that got the Astros a lead – on the heels of a stretch of 18 games where the other team took the lead in every game, the Astros have now scored the first run in 7 straight games. It's one of the weirdest things ever. But my favorite part of this whole thing, you weren't watching that play. You were down the hall. You taking a bathroom break or something. Yeah. And I'm like, Seth, you got to come see this. Jesus Sanchez, who we joked about yesterday, like getting thrown out Altuve style in one of the first games he played as an Astro. Like, oh, he'll fit right in.
His very first game.
Yeah. His very first game. Sanchez hits a double, slides in, and is celebrating while standing like 3 feet off the base. He's jumping up and down, and the guy, the Marlins shortstop, is holding the ball
several feet from him,
barely like me to you, like 5 feet away. Like, get on the base. Get on the base.
He fits right in, man.
Oh my God,
he smiles all the time.
He does smile all the time.
Yeah. I love that. And listen, everybody, he's a much better outfielder in general than he's maybe showed in these first few games.
That's what we're told.
He's had a few curious plays.
Come on. Neither of us have watched a lot of Marlins baseball
in the outfield, but he's exactly what the team needs. He can hit left-handed. Yep. He takes care of right-handed pitching, and he can play all three outfield positions.
There you go.
And he smiles a lot.
Smiles, man. He's happy.
It's very important to be happy all the
these days,
Sean.
Hell yeah. Here was Joe Espada yesterday after the game. Again, Astros win 8-2. That was nice to see. On Sanchez contributions.
No, he was part of that our meeting today. He spoke in there. He knows that club well. He knows Alcantara well. He gave us some tips, and let's not ask him about them. Okay. But this kid wants to be here. He's happy to be here. When I say here with us, coming back home and putting, having that performance, I'm sure he's satisfied.
That's nice. He gave all the cheat codes to the Marlins. Have been one of the hottest teams in baseball.
Yeah.
They're 20-10 over their last 30 games going into last night.
Yeah, they got a 6-series streak of either winning or not losing a series.
Yeah, and we know what that's like.
Yeah, I know. Six, whatever.
Hey, Marlin fans, it's not going to last.
Yeah, don't worry, Marlin fans. Yeah. There's a good chance you're going to lose
ends this
eight,
week.
Eight of your next 10.
That's right.
Yeah, starting tonight, damn it.
Including your next two. Yeah, that's right.
Altuve, too, after getting off to a bad start, mishandled a very easy to handle ground ball to allow a runner on first, but then had a bunt, successful bunt.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
on that same trip around the bases, had a steal immediately.
Yeah,
afterwards.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. So that was good to see. Good. Carlos Correa gets to experience a win again in an Astros uniform for the first time in almost 4 years. So that was cool. And Jason Alexander, that to me was probably the biggest story last night. Is anytime you're getting outings like this against a hot baseball team, from guys that you're bringing up for spot starts, and Jason Alexander pitched 6 shutout innings. The biggest thing was getting out of a bases-loaded jam in the 6th when the game was still 5-0. You know, that's a comfortable lead, but the bases are loaded. All of a sudden, the run that's coming to the plate, they can get within a run with one swing of the bat, and Jason Alexander able to get out of that bases-loaded jam in the 6th. Here was Joe Espada on that.
Yeah, he made pitches. He was you could see the fatigue, but he was still making good pitches, and he really stepped up. He really did. It's someone who we've been asking him to do, get on that plane and come back and give us outings, and he's been able to do a great job every time he steps on the mound.
That's true. It's one thing when you just get in your car and drive up to Daikin Park from Sugar Land to start a game. Like, here's your itinerary. Here, get on a flight, and we need you. Not that he's flying in the Red Baron in an outdoor plane or something like that.
Right.
But,
yeah.
But it is easier just to drive up to the ballpark. So good.
And then on the opposite side, Sandy Alcantara had a no hitter going through 3 innings.
Perfect game. Yeah.
Except that, you wouldn't have expected the no hitter was going to continue. The Astros were The Astros were rifling the ball directly at Rays players the first three innings. They had so much hard contact.
I want to see a no-hitter like that someday. Teams are just hitting rockets
just
at guys.
Out
27
lucky.
Outs, and it's like 25 of them at exit velos of 110.
Yeah, average exit velo, mach speed.
Yeah,
he had a no-hitter going. So after watching the Astros for the last 10 games, I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, yeah, they're gonna end up giving Alcantara a no-hitter with just like this.
Yeah,
that somehow they're not gonna figure out a way to get any runners on base, which might be just as well because during that losing stretch, they were leaving runners on base all over the place. Double-digit runners left on base was very, very frequent. So this is versus a team that is it's not your older brother's Marlins. This is they've been on a little bit of a tear, even though they've got a
500 baseball
record.
Team. Yeah.
I mean, Alcantara could have been an Astro, except that the Marlins are kind of stuck in that spot of like, oh, do we sell? Or I guess we can't really sell these days with the extra playoff.
They kind of Sanchez coming to the Astros notwithstanding. I mean, I think they were viewed more as a team that kind of stood pat.
Yeah.
More so than dumping guys. But so the pitching situation now for the rest of this series is the Astros are going to they're going to start an opener today, get a couple innings, and then do a bullpen game. And then Spencer Arrighetti gets his first start since breaking his hand in Seattle in early April in a freak accident. Here was Joe Espada yesterday after the game on how the Astros are going to handle the pitching the rest of this series.
We're going to have an opener, so I can share with you that Spencer will open Wednesday.
Opener tomorrow, Spencer opens Wednesday.
Wednesday, correct.
Spencer.
Arrighetti will start on Wednesday.
Okay.
Tomorrow will be an opener.
Spencer starts
on Wednesday. Correct. Is that?
Well, you said Arrighetti opens Wednesday. But I didn't know if he was going to be an opener too.
No, he's a starting pitcher. Okay. He is an opener. Tomorrow will be a reliever, which is an opener.
There you go. All right. Thank you. Good night. Okay. That was a bit of disconcerting audio right there.
Espada. Let's.
Does Joe Espada not know what an opener is?
He does. The fact that he got sensitive about it, I guess, is.
Spencer Arrighetti is starting the game, and thus he is opening the game.
I'm like, he just flat out gone through.
We're going with
an opener, and then it's going to be he explained an opener exactly what it was.
Dude,
and he just messed up and called Arrighetti an opener.
Those were perfectly logical questions. By I think I heard Chandler's voice in there.
Yeah.
Might have been McTaggart's voice. I mean, they asked him twice.
Right.
Like we're just reconfirming because you said Arrighetti is
when this isn't a gotcha moment.
No,
we're not trying to get you. We're just on clarification.
Had there been no follow up questions to it, you and I would now be going, okay, does Spencer Arrighetti pitch two innings or six innings today?
Yeah. So,
and I'm not sure I know.
No, the fact that Espada. The fact that Espada did get a little defensive there tells me that maybe that was a little bit of a Freudian slip. Maybe he didn't want to divulge that Arrighetti's only going to go a couple of innings. So that he kind of backpedaled a little bit aggressively. Yeah,
I would be surprised if he only went a couple innings, only because in his rehab starts, his pitch count got up to where he could do at least four or five innings.
I'm not going to be surprised by a single damn thing with this baseball team, Sean.
Oh, especially the pitching, too.
We find out that Paredes is going to try to make a go at it.
Oh, yes.
Which was interesting.
Lay it out.
Decides he's going to get a PRP injection in his hammy.
Right.
And
rehab it.
And try to rehab it so he could possibly make it back later this season or in the playoffs. This was interesting to me, and I think it's perfect for a Pender poll, Sean.
Okay.
Because in just looking at the replies from Chandler Rome's tweet, I think I saw it from Chandler Rome first, I think fans were split down the middle in terms of some people saying, oh, yeah, hell yeah, good for him. And then the other 50% saying, yeah, good for him, except I really wish this is the kind of thing that ends with, oh, he tries to come back and then injures it even worse and doesn't play at all in 2026.
Yeah.
I think 50% want him to be more conservative and just get ready for next year. There's another 50% that are you know, let's balls to the wall, let's do this thing.
Here's my question. If he were to come back, let's say he rehabs the injury, he comes back in September or October, where do you put him? And I know that the conventional wisdom is going to say, well, you just slide him over to second base. That's been a problem all year. The talk is he can play second base. The closer it got to them acquiring a third baseman to replace him when he got hurt, and then ultimately they wind up with Carlos Correa, which is, you know, that takes it to a whole separate level. But there was more and more trepidation that I saw both around the league and reportedly within the Astros about playing Paredes at second base.
Yeah.
The more the reality of a new third baseman coming in that was as good as Paredes or in that same category of player, the more trepidation there was about him playing second base. So my thing is, if he makes it back before the end of the season, if it's a guy who already were a little iffy on being able to slide over at second base, are you telling me you slide him in cold, having not played there all season, coming off of a hamstring injury?
Right. Well, I think this is where, you know,
because Correa and Pena are your left side of your infield.
But listen, I think I don't want to overthink it. If Paredes comes back, it's not like they're going to be sliding him in as an everyday player. There's going to be some load management there. There's going to be an injury somewhere along the way in the infield. I think that it's – I don't want to – remember when we used to complain about how the Astros have too many good starting pitchers?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, half of them were injured.
Yeah, a good veteran bat.
Yeah.
Like, there on the bench.
He's a better player. Paredes coming back, if he can reasonably play and if it's smart medically to do it, and we don't trust this team to do things – we don't trust the medical situation at all. That you just, I don't think of him as, oh, he's going to come back and replace Correa or something. It's that Pena. Pena's, look, we've seen Pena cut 2 days after his return from his rib injury have to take a break for a hamstring cramp.
Yeah.
Like, it's just extra hands on deck.
Well, and this is where some of the versatility of guys like Urias and especially Dubon, who can play infield and outfield, come in.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's not Paredes versus, maybe it's not, hey, is Paredes your second baseman? Is Paredes a better vet bat to have on the bench than Cooper Hummel?
Right.
That kind of thing.
Or versus a call-up. You know, you can't worry. Not any of these guys, including Paredes, over Bryce Matthews or Melton at this point, are that's who you want in the playoffs.
Yep. So Arrigetti is the one who's imminently coming back. He's going to start / open on Wednesday. There's a slew of them that are still going to be in Sugarland.
It'd be like if somebody told me, you know, hey, here's $10,000, and me saying, oh, I don't have that in my investment plan right now, okay? Trying to work with I wouldn't call up Trajan Wealth and say, hey, guys,
I've
listen.
I've got too much money.
Somebody wants to give me $10,000, but I don't want to make you guys work any harder, so I'm going to turn it down.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
That just happened to me once, by the way. I won a $10,000 in groceries at a grocery store.
Oh, really?
But it was one of those things where it was at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And I felt bad because I was like, hey guys, can I wait until January to accept this?
What'd they say?
They said, oh yeah, sure, we get this all the time.
Oh, okay.
And then I felt really bad, so I just ended up giving it to charity. Which I'm always dicey with when you're doing with a corporation.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I really should have accepted the $10,000 in groceries and then given those charity cards to a charity of my choice.
Yeah.
I never trust that the company is going to actually... Like, okay, so they give me $10,000 in groceries, which to them is probably only like $5,000 in inventory.
Correct,
or whatever the deal
retail,
is, however
wholesale,
it works
yeah.
out. Yeah. And where I'm like, all right, well, I could probably help somebody else. But anyway.
Yeah. Would you?
They hosed me, Sean. They hosed me.
I'm a little disappointed.
I gave it to them for the charity that they had been raising money for.
I
assume that maybe it all went to,
I think it probably did. Yeah, I'm a little disappointed. We were deprived of watching you try to spend $10,000 in groceries in like 3 weeks.
December. Yeah, there was no time limit.
Oh,
in December. No, but if I accepted the gift cards, that would have been like receiving cash at that point.
Oh! I got you for tax
cards.
Purposes.
Yeah, they gave me
for tax. I got you. I thought they were giving you a $10,000 shopping spree with an expiration date of the calendar year.
I should have explained that. Yeah. No, I was worried about the tax implications.
Got you.
I didn't want to mess up my tax.
I got you. Okay.
This is a long time.
I'm picturing you sticking your arm on the Little Debbie shelf and just sweeping it into a cart. Everything.
That was back when grocery prices weren't necessarily as high as they've been the last couple of years
True.
Or so. And these days I'm like cherry. You can go pound sand. I need these eggs. Damn it.
Yeah. $10,000 doesn't go as far as you think it might go in the grocery store these days. You're excited about the egg prices here in West Virginia.
That was Tops in upstate New York. This is a long time ago.
Oh, okay. That was the grocery store?
Yeah.
Yeah. You were excited about the egg prices yesterday at the Food Lion.
No, not – well, at the Food Lion, they were pretty damn good. But when I was driving through West Virginia, there were a couple roadside stands where I saw a dozen eggs for $3.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
But the problem is there's no cell phone reception in any of these places. and I never carry cash on me anymore.
Yeah.
So I decided there was no way to. I knew they weren't going to accept Venmo.
Right.
So I missed out, man.
They ain't accepting Venmo. They barely have phone reception in this state.
I'm gonna load
Venmo.
Up, I'm going to load up on the way back to the airport, and I wonder how many eggs do they allow on a plane.
It's a good question. Text in.
Should I put them in my checked bag?
713. I would love to see the picture of you opening that bag. Yellow splats 6, everywhere.
6,000 eggs.
Yeah, man.
I put them in bubble wrap.
Handle with care. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Day 2 of the Texans at the Greenbrier today. Day 11 of training camp. We're already halfway through training camp. It's flying by, man. So we'll have all the observations for you. And in fact, top of the hour, we'll get back to some of our training camp thoughts. Also, top of the hour, there was an article in the Washington Post yesterday. And apparently, if the offensive line room for the Texans was toxic, it ain't this guy's fault. We'll tell you all about that at the top of the hour. We'll go into some headlines, though, coming up next. Stay there.